Thank you. Well, do have your Bibles open. Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 to 45. Mark's gospel is my favourite gospel. It's short, it's succinct, and like all the others, it answers the biggest question that affects us all, every person living: how can people be right with God? How can we be right with God? And I'd like to begin by asking what that might mean for us. I mean, you might be wanting to know more about God. What that could mean for you, this will teach us what that means. Maybe you want to know what to do for God to accept you, how you can come to him. This will teach us how to come to him. Maybe you count yourself a Christian, but going to church and doing the right thing really doesn't bring you peace. This will show you the answer to that problem. And maybe you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, but you are conscious that you've drifted away and you don't have that peace that you once did. This will take us back to the gospel basics that we must never leave behind. Now, so far, this first chapter has been packed. There's so much here. We've seen how John the Baptist prepared the people at that time for the coming of God's long-promised king, the person the Jews knew as the Messiah, whom they understood would be God's saviour for the whole world. And we've seen how Jesus identified himself with us, with the whole human race, by being baptised, and how at his baptism he was publicly acknowledged, divinely, publicly acknowledged by God the Father as God the Father's own Son. We've seen also, and this is really exciting, he is the first human being to withstand all temptation. The first human being to withstand all temptation. Utterly remarkable. And then he began preaching publicly, saying God's kingdom's now here, calling people to repent and believe that message. And he gathered a group of disciples so that in the future they would be able to take the message to the whole world. And we've also seen, I mean, it really is packed, isn't it, this first chapter? Jesus has tremendous authority, even over unclean spirits, unheard of. And he's able and willing so far to cure every sickness that has been brought to him. And he's done that, even though it's his priority to preach and teach publicly. And incidentally, we'll focus on the first two verses. But just to say, the last part, 43, 44, 45, illustrate that very point, because Jesus tells the man, don't go and tell people, otherwise there will be hordes of people coming for healing, and he will not be able to fulfill the priority, as he would like, of preaching publicly and teaching people who he is and why he came. Who he is, why he came. So we're going to focus on this first part, the account of Jesus healing a leper, because it answers that big question. How can people be right with God today? And it shows us that Jesus is able and willing. He is able and willing, and he has the power to make us right with God. That's the big point here. Jesus has the power, and he's willing to use it for us. And I think this story touches us in three ways. It shows our deepest need. Shows our deepest need. We're not really comfortable facing up to that. but it does bring it out and make us face it. It shows us how we should come to Jesus too, and it shows us how he will receive us when we do. And it begins, doesn't it, with a man with leprosy, there in verse 40. Now this is someone who has what was at that time a really fearful, incurable, contagious disease, skin disease. It made him an outcast in society, and it cut him off from fellowship with God. He could not go and take part at the synagogue or the temple. He could only stand behind a screen and watch. And to suffer leprosy like this was regarded as a kind of living death. Well, what does that mean for us today, you say? Well, it's just this. The Bible regards leprosy as an apt metaphor for our spiritual disease of sin. It's a metaphor for sin. The invisible disease affects every member of the human race. When I was young, it used to be called the plague of the human heart. And it runs right through all our human nature, doesn't it? We cannot get rid of it. It's there with us, and nothing we can do. Just like leprosy at that time, there is no human cure that we can find for sin. Now, it's true, isn't it, that society today is pretty uncomfortable talking about this. If you mention anything like this on Twitter, you will get inundated by people complaining and calling you all sorts of rude names. People are very uncomfortable. But deep down, don't we all know that actually it's really true? It affects everyone. And the big thing, the big point here for us is that it makes us loathsome to God and cuts us off from fellowship with him. And actually, unless it's dealt with, the Bible says it will drag us right down to what it calls with chilling finality, the second death, the most awful fate. We are all actually spiritual lepers. This man was fully aware of his desperate need, and I guess the question for each of us must surely be, are we aware of our spiritual need? Do we realize the awful consequences of our sinfulness and the guilt that it entails for us in the sight of God? It sounds desperate. It was desperate for this man. This account, though, is marvellous because it shows us hope. And first of all, we need, to take note of what the leper did, because it shows us the basic pattern for us to follow. Much of the Bible is very simple, isn't it? Very simple, and often so simple that we, at least I, tend to forget what I ought to do and think it was just, you know, too simple. First of all, he did three things, and each of them was very costly in terms of human pride and self-esteem. First of all, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. I mean, we have to think about what that cost him, because there were strict rules keeping him separate from everybody else. At a distance, he was not allowed to come. I don't know. Remember COVID, you weren't allowed to get close to people. I think it was even an even bigger distance than that. And he came to Jesus because he recognized that he had this extraordinary power to do good. And even though all these rules were in place, it took courage for him to break them and come right into Jesus' presence. It meant disregarding what people thought. It was a costly thing to do. And you may face the same pressures. You may feel the same pressures about coming to Jesus or becoming a Christian. What will people think? What will they say? What will my friends think? Will I lose my friends? Coming to Jesus is often costly. But you know what? When, like this man, we see our need, it makes complete sense. It really does make complete sense. Second thing he does, he kneels, doesn't he? He came and he knelt. He came humbly. He came humbly to Jesus. I don't know that how much he understood about Jesus being the Messiah, but he certainly saw Jesus had authority and power. And he was certainly acknowledging that. And you know, you and I must do the same. Some of the worship songs today have been categorized as treating Jesus as my boyfriend type of songs. You may have come across them. Jesus is God's Savior King, and we cannot just rock up to him as if we're on equal terms, can we? It's just not like that. We need to abandon that sense of self-importance that's so natural to us and copy this leper and come humbly, acknowledging this is God's Saviour, this is God's King, even though it's costly for our pride. Third thing the leper did, again, it's very simple, but I wonder, do you need to be reminded? I need to be reminded of this. He asked for cleansing. He was humble and specific and bold. And he asked for the biggest possible thing he could ask for. If you're willing, he says, verse 40, you can make me clean. One of the prerogatives of being a king, it must be great in a sense, must it, to be a king, you have authority and power to grant requests. It's what kings do. It's their job, you might say. And this man, having made it into Jesus' presence, he didn't fluff the opportunity, did he? He made certain that he asked specifically for what he needed. I want to be made clean. I want you to cure me of my leprosy. Two simple lessons for us. Good to be specific in our prayers. God loves to answer prayer, and we need not be afraid to ask big things. We cannot. The old hymn really nails it, doesn't it? You are coming to a king, large petitions with you bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. So this man, he came, he knelt, he asked, and he asked for what he most needed. And whether, you know, when we come to God, whether it's the first time or the thousandth time, it's a good template, isn't it, for us to follow, seeking to be made right with God. But you know what? That's only half the story. The best part is yet to come, and the thrill of it is what Jesus did. And again, we're told he did three things that Jesus did. Three things. First, we're told he was deeply moved. Have a look. It's worth looking at this and noting this. Verse 41, Jesus was indignant. Well, what's all that about? What's all that about? I think it's this. As he sees this man here in front of him, he has A genuine, righteous anger at Satan's work in the world, all the sin and the suffering and the sorrow. And this man in front of him is kind of a microcosm of that. And it calls forth Jesus' indignation and anger, righteous anger, at Satan's work in the world. He is indignant and he is full of compassion as he sees this man's misery. And I think that's so encouraging for us, isn't it? Jesus is not cold, aloof, and distant. He's concerned about us. He cares deeply. He's full of compassion for us in our struggles with the leprosy of sin that we have. And that gives us great hope, doesn't it? Isn't that a great encouragement to pray? And there's no hesitation on Jesus' part either, is there? Second thing, he touched the leper. He reached out his hand. Again, verse 41, and touched the leper. Now, this is astonishing. Nobody ever willingly touched a leper because you would catch leprosy and be unclean yourself. Nobody would have done that to him since he'd had the disease. But Jesus does not hesitate. Jesus takes the uncleanness away. Jesus is not affected. Jesus is not affected by our sin either. Jesus does not hesitate. He reached out his hand and touched the man. And in effect, he is coming down to our level, isn't he? I mean, this man was regarded as the lowest of the low, really, in effect. And Jesus comes down where he is and touches him. Wonderful. Wonderful and exhilarating to know that kind of care is available for us today. Should take away all our fears about coming to the King of Kings. Doesn't that encourage you to pray? Lastly, Jesus spoke. He spoke instant cleansing. God's words are not like our words. God's words convey power. God's words is his way of conveying power. In the beginning, God spoke and creation came into being. Jesus speaks and his words convey the power of healing to this man. Immediate healing power. Wonderful words. I am willing, be clean. I am willing, be clean. Worth taking a moment to think how marvellous it is for us that he is willing. Willing to engage with people like us in our deepest needs. Because so often we think, don't we? Are you like me? I think he won't want to be bothered. He's willing. He is willing. Willing to engage with our deepest needs in order to speak words of healing to us. So, what happened? Well, verse 42 tells us Jesus' words conveyed instant healing to this man who'd recognized his power, been willing to humble himself, found courage to approach him and ask the biggest thing he could, healing for an impossible disease. And the result was instantaneous and complete, miraculous. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. Simply miraculous, isn't it? Astonishing, utterly wonderful. In response to this person's deepest need, Jesus was deeply moved. He touched him and he cleansed him with a single word. And we today may know that same care for ourselves and receive for ourselves that power which cleanses us from all sin, which comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. That's another point to this parable. Jesus alone has this power, so that we can be, are, fully restored to fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. That's what church is about. That is why it's so wonderful. Can I ask, do you truly know that? Do you truly know that? As the well-known hymn puts it, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? It's the most important thing in our lives. If you want to know more, do speak to Pete or to me afterwards. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it would have been utterly astonishing for us to have been there and watched what Jesus did, this man coming to him, his amazing willingness to come down to his level, his compassion and his power. Father, we thank you for this wonderful picture of our Saviour. We pray we may know that. And we pray, Father, that we may know that day by day as well. In your mercy, by your grace, in Jesus' name, amen.